Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. How are you? Happy October. And today, we have got a fantastic show. You know why? Because I have two magical guests on with me today. So, great way, kind of in preparation for Halloween. But the first guest I would like to introduce you to is the owner CEO of Los Angeles' own famous Magic Castle that actually is in celebration of 50 years this year of existence. He has been a really great inspiration to many people. Not only is my guest the owner, the CEO of the famous Magic Castle, but he is also an actor, a composer, an author, and so he's going to even be talking to us today about his book. So would you help me welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey Milt Larson. Milt, are you with us?
I certainly am. What a nice thing. I love hearing about me like that.
Yeah, especially from me, right? So welcome. How are you? And you're calling me all the way from, are you in Los Angeles today?
Actually, I'm in Santa Barbara. Castle is in Hollywood, and home is in Santa Barbara, so I just happen to be up here.
I love Santa Barbara. What a great place to live.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we
it's beautiful, beautiful. So, you know, there's a few things that we're going to go over. You know, I in studying all about you and hearing about Magic Castle for years, I kind of want to know what got you involved in this. And I think, are you as well an illusionist? And what your definition of magic is? Because, you know, on the second portion of our show, we have somebody that actually practices magic, not black magic, but she practices magic, and she is actually very well known throughout the world, and she comes to us from Salem, Mass. But I'm just kind of interested in what your definition is, how you got involved in it, and about your acting and your composing, and then we're going to talk about your book, okay? So we're going to spend about a half hour doing that.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, and sure, I'd love to talk about that.
Okay, so why don't you first tell us how you got involved in it and, you know, how you put together this magic castle and all that.
Well, actually, Joey, I was born in a magic family. I thought I was born in a magic trunk, you know. But my father was a practicing lawyer, but he also was a magician. And at one point, he took the family out on the road as the Larson family of magicians. And so all of my life I've been involved with magic, and my dad had a magic magazine, and it's still going on after about 70 years. And my brother and I just gravitated to, we were both in the television, and the opportunity arose one time to have a club for magicians, and that, in a nutshell, I covered about 30 years there in one paragraph. But that's how it all happened. We were brought up in magic. We love magic, and not so much performing, but just being involved. And I kind of the entrepreneur of the family. But it happened. It's been very successful for us.
And, oh, that's awesome.
I think growing up, I was surrounded with magicians all my life, you know, so I got to know some of the great magicians of the world and got to know some of the younger magicians growing up who are now the old magicians, you know. So going from there to writing and television and all that sort of thing. I wrote Truth or Consequences with Bob Barker. That was the audience participation show. I was a writer on that show for 18 years. And,
oh, my gosh.
And that's a long writing gig. But
yeah.
And during that time, I was able to go to Magic Castle and a few other things. But my basic goal in life was to be a gag writer, a comedy writer, and I did that. And then with that came my brother was a producer. He was an associate producer of the Danny Kaye Show and Playhouse Tonight and a few things at CBS. And I was with Truth or Consequences at NBC. We figured if we had another brother, we could have controlled all networks, you know. But unfortunately, Mom didn't want to see it that way.
No.
But at any rate, so we were in the TV business, and when the opportunity to find this, you know, people listening to the show might not realize that in Hollywood, it's unusual to find a grand old Victorian mansion perched on the hill just one block away from the Dolby Theater where the Academy Awards are and Robin's Chinese and all those things. And so it's kind of an unusual thing to find a grand old mansion there. And when I found that, I made a deal with the owner of the property, and that's been about over 50 years ago. But when I found that, it looked kind of like something that fell out of a Charles Adams cartoon, you know, the Adams family. And it was kind of a rundown old Victorian, actually modeled after a French chateau, but it was a grand old house. It was built in 1910.
And, 1910.
Yeah, so it's now over 100 years old, and we turned it into the Magic Club in 1963, which is why we're 50 years. So it's
celebrating 50 years.
Quite an experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what I'd like to know about, how many square feet is the house? You know.
Well, what it was,
or the
built,
castle,
it was about,
should I say?
6,000 square foot house. The typical three story Victorian mansion, but over the years we've expanded it. It all looks like, we kid about it all the time. We say it's three times bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, because it's kind of a magic illusion. If you look at it from Hollywood Boulevard, it looks like there's just this big mansion on the hill, but actually kind of dog legs behind a hotel and a few other things. So now that it's 22,000 square feet. So it's it's a little bigger than when it was built. But,
that's
a magic trick, you know. It's just a crazy illusion.
So is it 6,000 square feet or is it 22,000 feet?
But now it's 22.
Wow.
And
adding. You keep on adding, right?
Well, originally we just were using the original old house, and then we needed a little more space, so we annexed another building, which is connected to it, and that is the theaters. We have three theaters in the building, and it's a restaurant and bars and all that sort of thing. So it takes a lot of. And when I say theaters, the smallest theater holds 30 people, and the biggest theater holds 135 people. So these are not huge, big arenas, you know. But for magic, the castle was built really on close-up magic, you know, where a magician is 4 feet from you and or 1 foot from you and doing tricks with his hands and talent that, you know, there's no camera trickery there, and you know, unless he's got trapdoors on his in his hands. You know?
Right.
But, but the whole castle was kind of built on very intimate magic, and then as time wore on, we felt we had to have a theater for bigger stage illusions and larger tricks and all that. So there's actually a little close-up theater, that's where the close-up people are, and then there's a parlor theater, as we call it in the old terms of England, the parlor, And that's for stand-up. That holds about 70 people. And then we have the larger theater, which is 135 people.
Wow.
And then there are three additional little performance areas around. And so any given night at the Magic Castle, every week we change the performing magicians, the acts, and there are nine different magicians working the castle every night. So it's a lot of magic. Yeah. And when I say that, there are two, three stage magicians and two close-up magicians and two parlor magicians, and then people work in the other room. And seven nights a week for the last 50 years, that's what we've been doing.
Wow, that is awesome. I've heard some really great things about it, and I know there's actually been some celebrities that have performed there as well, right? Celebrity music, magician.
Earliest days of the castle back in 63 when we opened, and then but our members were people like Orson Welles, and Cary Grant was one of our very, very active magicians. The people don't realize that he started as a magician and a stilt walker in London, and he loved magic. And of course, Johnny Carson was a very, very big magic fan. He was the great Carsoni when he was a kid and never got over the bug. And he was very active in the club. And then that goes back to early days of the castle and people like, Jimmy Stewart and all those superstars, Fred Astaire people. But currently our president of the club, and the club incidentally is the Academy of Magical Arts. It's a very grand organization, and the castle is the clubhouse for the Academy. But the president of the Academy is Neil Patrick Harris, and he's doing pretty good these days.
Yeah, he is doing pretty good.
Every award show that comes up, apparently he's the host. But at any rate, he's great. And then Jason Alexander is an excellent magician, and Nicolas Cage, and a lot of actors and actresses are members of the club. So these celebrities that and I had Johnny Depp's a very good magician and loves the castle. He's been a member for quite a while. So we do have our celebrities. But we have 5,000 members of our organization, and that doesn't mean they're all there on one night. but
right.
Usually about 300 or 400 of them show up every night, so that's good.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I want to know. We'll talk more about towards the end if people are interested in finding out more about this, but. I know that you also have a book out. So let's talk about that and the name of the book and how that came about. And if people are interested in getting a copy of that, how they can do that. Okay, shall we? So let's talk. I really like the name of the book, but I want you to kind of,
I'll explain the name of the book because it's a little weird, but it's called My Magical Journey. And the subtitle is The First 30,000 Days. And the way that works is the magical journey is I kind of liken my life to being on a train, and the train has many sidings and many stops because I love writing and I like performing and I like building theaters and things. So the train, it doesn't go directly to the light at the end of the tunnel. It has a lot of side trips. But then the first 30,000 days is when I started putting the book together. I was a mere young person of 80 years old, and so we simply multiplied 80 years by 360 days, and we came up with 30,000. So that's how that all works out. But, and my life has just been a wonderful, crazy roller coaster of life because I've done an awful lot of crazy things. But that's what it's all about. And the book itself, it's a book of about 300 pages of a lot of pictures of things of of things that, you know, the celebrities and things that I've done. And mainly it's a happy book that is more anecdotes and humor and fun things about this crazy guy that is life and magic, and I'm very proud of it. It's an autobiography, and it's my first autobiography. I've had a couple of other books, but this is the one that I just love because it tells a story of my life, and I'm not done with living my life yet. I'm long from it. I never planned to retire because I just have no idea what retired people would do. But at this point in my life, we've got several major projects going, and so I'm very far from throwing in the towel, you know.
Wow. Well, you know, so let me ask you, this book is, tell people how they can get a copy of this book and where it's available. And, you know, it sounds like such a great book, and it sounds like it's got such great history. And, again, it does cover your life, which, you know, really quite, it has been a magical journey for you with just anybody that reads about what you've gone through. And just, you know, being...
It's interesting because it's not only magic, but it's a lot of writing and show business. And I had a place called the Mayfair Music Hall in Santa Monica, which is a British music hall, and it ran for about 12 years. And then I had the Variety Arts Theater in downtown, so I've done a lot of other things and produced and written television specials, mainly with magic being the linchpin on them. But the other thing about buying the book, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because you don't write these things and just not try to sell them. But it's available. Best thing to do is just Amazon or any of the things. And it's also available on e-books now. So
good.
If you want an e-book copy, I always like the hardcover. I've always been kind of a researcher and historian, so we have a hardbound book and a softbound book. But e-books are rather cool. The only trouble is they're really hard to autograph. So
you can't autograph iPads. Come on now.
No, I mean it's just really difficult. And the problem is that when you try to wash them off, people get mad at you. But the it's very available, and like I say, Amazon. Also, we have a website for the Magic Castle, but the best way to do it is just Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore, hopefully. It's kind of an offbeat book, so it's not what you call the bestseller that's on the top of the rack, but if you look under the table, it's probably there someplace.
Well, you know, I mean... I know that I'm always interested in people's lives and people that intrigue me. There's different facets of their life. What I really appreciated, because, you know, what you don't know is I'm also a musician, I'm a singer, I'm an actor, and I do these things as well. So I'm very appreciative of other people that are in the arts, and then there's other facets of their life. So not only are you an entrepreneur, you're an actor, you're a composer, you're a screenwriter.
I work with one of probably, I hate to use the word legendary, but actually he is, Richard M. Sherman, the Sherman Brothers, who wrote Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and It's a Small World. And it was always the Richard Sherman and his brother Robert. Robert unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago. But Richard is still very, very active. They're doing a new version of Jungle Book for the stage. And as we speak, he's in Boston with a run-through of that show. And then, of course, Mary Poppins is one of the most popular shows in the world. So I've had the pleasure, and I mean this seriously, but Dick Sherman and I kind of grew up together. He was a young out-of-work songwriter, and I was a young out-of-work comedy writer when we met, and we're best of friends. And over the years, we've written couple of hundred songs together, and awesome. Notably they're comedy songs, and we have a wonderful album that we did many, many, many years ago called Smash Flops. And Smash Flops was songs that would have been tremendous hits if little problems hadn't happened in between. Like we wrote a song, Bon Voyage Titanic. Well, it should have been a big hit, but it just something happened there. And so if you're big major in history, you know all the things that a hot, hot time in Lakers, New Jersey, when the Hindenburg lands today. They're kind of, at the time we wrote them, they were kind of sick. But in the meantime, we kept doing that. And just this past 2 or 3 years, we've written written and produced a musical. It's called Little Old Broadway. And it's played under another name of Pizzazz. But it's a full-scale musical comedy about the turn of the century. And it's words and music by Milt Larson and Richard M. Sherman. And so I've tagged along on Dick's spectacular career with this crazy, you know, Dick is very much the composer of the team, and I'm more the lyricist, but it's words and music by both of us. We both feel that writing a song is a teamwork effort. You have to have an idea, and you have to put it all together. And there's no such thing as a composer sitting in one room and the lyricist in another and making it work. Not that that hasn't happened, but a few people like Irving Berlin and Gershwin's and Cole Porter, I mean, they could do things like that. But at any rate, very proud of that part of my life because Dick and I have written several reviews and a couple of musicals. And I love music. I love writing music. And, so that's one facet of it. And then producing, I love that part. And as an actor, when I was doing Truth or Consequences, anytime we'd need a stooge, you know, somebody to be on the street doing a practical joke or something, the writers would get first crack at playing the part. So there are three writers on the show, and we kind of draw the straws to see who got paid for the after part at that time, you know. And but I had lots and lots of small screen TV things, doing things like that. And one of the things I mastered at an early age for no particular reason was the old gag of yanking a tablecloth out from under a bunch of plates and things on a table. You know, it's the oldest gag in the world, but not a lot of people do it. So a juggler taught me how to do it when I was just a teenager. And so I've had a career of doing SAG and after parts with never being seen. I'm usually the back of some celebrity, and I was back of lots of people yanking tablecloths, but you don't see me. You know, you see the hands yanking it, and then it cut to the actor doing it. So I've had a career of not being seen.
But you're being
kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, but you're being heard today. And, you know, the interesting thing and the really great thing here, Mel, you have to think about is Truth or Consequences. You're involved in that. You know, your involvement in that show really has paved the way for a lot of shows today. You know, there are shows out there today that I go, you know what? They got that idea from Truth or Consequences. Now, again, that Truth or Consequences, I'm trying to – what year did that that played from what year to what year? Do you remember?
Well, Ralph Edwards, who invented the show, did the first show on radio in 1940. And when I started on the show, which was in 1955, the show had been on the air for 15 years at that point, but on radio. And then Ralph did it on radio, and then a spinoff of that show was This Is Your Life, and Ralph hosted that, and then Jack Bailey took over the thing, and then Bob Barker started doing it on daytime, and that's when I started. But, you know, you mentioned about the shows that spun off of that. But we would do what we call acts. We'd do three acts a day and 5 days a week and for 18 years. And so about 6,000 shows, God knows how many acts. But and Ralph had a thing where you're really not allowed to do exactly the same act twice, but the variations of the theme. So Bobby Lahr and I, Bobby was one of the writers on the show, unfortunately passed away now, but the we were called show doctors at the network because if they had a game show that was in trouble, they'd call us and we'd come over and tell them how many variations they could do and come up with something new. So we did that as a kind of a sideline because almost every game show, I don't even like calling them game shows, but audience participation shows is a better word. But usually it's an act we did on Truth or Consequences, and the only thing they do is instead of, a match game type of a thing where you try to put couples with their opinions, all they do is add $1 million prize to it, and they got a whole new show. The billion dollar, when I was a kid, there was a show called the $64 question. And that was a big show, I mean, you got $2, and then it went up to $4, and then it went to $8, and then you got the big prize, which is $64. A little later in life, it became the $1 million question and stuff. So,
right. Well, I remember as a kid. Now, I don't know if they were repeats or not, but I used to see Truth or Consequence, Bob Barker. But I saw it on television, and I was fairly young. And again, I don't know if they were repeats or what have you. But again, I have just seen over the years now these shows, and I'm like, you know what? They got that from. And really, quite honestly, that's what people are doing. You know, history has a way of repeating itself. And then things that are successful and great, people repeat. And it's just like any great actor or actress out there today, and even the movies that are out there today, sometimes are repeats of older movies.
Do
a new, spin on them and all.
They'll get a really hot movie, and then all of a sudden they'll have like three almost the same because people say, well, that's what the public wants, so they start doing it, and which is unfortunate because, today all the crime shows and everything, and I love the old variety shows, which are, a thing of the past now. And, talking about the days of Truth or Consequences, that was all live.
Right.
Big Hand got to the top of the dial, you were on the air, and when it got to the bottom, you were off the air. And they had one commercial to begin with and one commercial in the middle and one at the end. And now you watch TV and, there's about 2 minutes of entertainment and 7 minutes of commercials and then another minute of entertainment. So it's an exact reverse, which is kind of sad in my book. But there aren't.
Right.
The reason you don't see a lot of reruns of Truth or Consequences is all the time on NBC we were strictly live. There were no repeats. And it was a great time because, if you made a mistake, you just made a mistake.
You just made a mistake.
Going back and do it again, which is a great way to go because we made a lot of mistakes. And so, And Bob Barker was brilliant, People used to ask us as writers, because there were basically three writers on the show in most of its time. And they said, well, what do you write on that show? You don't really write anything, do you? I said, no, we just show up at the office and drink coffee and throw darts at the dartboard. And, but it was such a great show to write because we could do sketches and we'd write parodies on songs. We'd do sketches. We'd do musicals. We'd do outlandish practical jokes in the days of hidden cameras and things. And all the jokes that we did, those kind of jokes, were always in really good taste, and we build them up, and they'd be hilarious. And I am only saying that because you get into the today's world, and most of the hidden camera, if you will, of practical jokes are really rehearsed and staged, and really kind of gross. And Ralph Edwards would never have at anything that would embarrass anybody, you know. But today that seems to be the thing. So that's just a, you know, kind of the old-time writer talking about the good old days. But I miss them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what, I think, and you know, but it's kind of great that there's a new resurgence of good shows, good actors, good music, good, you know, things that you can be a part of. And again, you've definitely done it with your Magic Castle there. I want to have you reiterate how people can get a hold. Just let us know again how they can get a hold of you, how they can, get a hold of you, and also as well, if they want information on the book, again, just reiterate that once again as we close out this portion, okay?
Well, thank you, Joey. And the other thing is, one important thing is the Magic Castle is private clubs. You can't just walk in off the streets, but it's not too difficult to get in if you want to. If anyone wants to get more information on that, just go to magiccastle.com and it's all the information. And the other thing is that is private, but we do a show called It's Magic, and that is open to the public, and we do it in performing arts centers up and down, mainly the West Coast. We're from Bellingham, Washington, to San Diego, and the next one coming up is in Thousand Oaks, which is between Santa Barbara and here, so it's convenient. But we have a great show there on November 30th. That's not too far away. But the difference is that it's a full-scale two-hour show with illusions and scenery and comedy. It's a one big act, Rick Thomas, who's just back from a tour of Asia, and he was in Vegas for 10 years, and then we have actually even I'm on it. I do my comedy magic act, but at any rate, that's for the public. So if anybody's down in this area in November, just give them a call to Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza down here. Gorgeous theater.
Okay.
But at any rate, that's for people that want to see big magic. And the castle is available. And then the book, as I mentioned, the easy ways, go to Amazon. I think they are our biggest seller of books. And as I also mentioned, it's on e-books on Apple and Zook. And wherever you can find e-books, it's there. And you just go to the thing. And our records, if you want to go to iTunes and hit Sherman and Larson, you'll find all of our comedy records on iTunes at 90 cents a piece. Hey, you can't go wrong there. Let's see, what else can I plug here?
Whatever you'd like.
I'm doing that. Yeah, so at any rate, we do a lot of things. Oh, we have a movie coming up.
You got to tell us about that. But you know what? I think we're running out. If you can, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you come back, and I'm going to have you talk about the movie as well. How about that, Milt?
Cool.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to have to end it now, but it's been a pleasure talking to you. And, folks, again, please get in. And, Milt, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll look forward to having you come back and talk about the movie. Does that sound good?
Sure. Anytime.
Okay.
I am a very available person, and I love talking, as you can
tell. All right. Like me.
Thank you, Joey.
It was a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. And, folks, again, if you want to get a hold of Milt, he gave you the information. Please do so, and then get a hold of his book as well. So while we're waiting for the next portion of our show, I am going to play you a little bit of some music for you to relax by, and we're waiting for Lori Bruno.
Hello?
Folks, we were so just delighted to have Milt Larson with us from Magic Castle down in L.A. So I just wanted to extend my thanks out to him today. And then, so now we have a second portion of our show on Live from the Bay with Joey. Now, as you know, Milt was from the West Coast. And now, from another magical side of the United States, come and celebrate from the East with Salem, Massachusetts' own Italian strega, wise woman, and psychic, Lori Bruno, co-owner of Magica from Salem, Mass. We're going to hear about her first annual Festival of the Living and Light. And this will all happen during the Haunted Happenings of Salem. We're going to hear about that special festival, dinner, blessings for the new year, as well as some other stuff. We will hear her talk about Magica, her shop, and some special things in her life and around Salem. So, would you help me welcome Lori Bruno. Lori, how are you?
I'm fine, Joey, and out there, many blessings to all of you listeners.
And you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Magica is here in Salem, Massachusetts. It's a place, a shop, where magic will never stop. The name Magica means the Magi, M-A-G-I, and the Ka is the Egyptian name for soul. So it's the soul of the Magi.
Mm.
We help everyone that comes through this door so that they can reclaim that forevermore, which is theirs.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. And, you know, I know that you have some really, really great things happening around your perimeter and around Salem this year, and some real interesting things. So why don't you tell the audience about some of those things?
Well, as you know, it's the Festival of the Dead. Okay, and that is everything, the honoring of the dead. But we have decided, too, that we need a balance. So
mm-hmm.
we have gone and done the Festival of the Living, of the Light, and Love. This way there's a balance, because we feel at Magica that it's time that the balance has to be created, because in the world today, there's a great deal of sadness. So
yes.
if we can balance the living and the dead, because after all, the living are part of the dead, and the dead are part of the living. But we must balance the two. So
right.
therefore, I decided this year that maybe we have to do that. And that's why I created the Festival of the Living, the Light, and the Love. I will be doing the Circle of the Living, Light, and Love on the Salem Common from 2 to 4 p.m. on Halloween Day. Christian Day will be doing his Festival of the Dead. Right after that, his circle to honor the dead, which is a very good thing, too. We have a balance there, and we all work together here in Salem, or we have to understand that we don't work at all. So peace, love, happiness, light, and dark balance. That is what is being created. And anybody who tries to do otherwise is a foolish, foolish individual.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about, now, are there other festivities around this? Tell us about that.
Oh, yes, everyone. Lori Cabot has a ball. There's a festival at the Hawthorne Hotel. Look online, and you will see everything in Salem that is going on to make this place a place of joy for all the people who come here. It's not a one-upmanship. It's to make the tourists and everyone feel welcome for the light and love that shines forth from Salem. As you know, Salem wasn't a place many years ago where there was light and love, there was injustices done and people were killed for their beliefs or the so-called thought about beliefs. Because no witch was ever killed in Salem Town. It were people that were accused of the crime of witchcraft, which was blasphemy at that time in the 1600s. However, now, people who are of the craft and truly of the craft will understand that they may be together and causing a new generation of understanding of all the religions of mankind and being kind to one another, thereby unbinding their souls. So this is why, as you say, we have now made the festival of living light and love come forward. And I hope everyone will join us in that. In the shop, Core Magica, we honor all religions. It's not just the craft, because all the people of this world have to be together in peace. Otherwise, right. There will be no world. You know, when mankind learns the power of love and not the love of power, then he will be. Jimi Hendrix said this many years ago, and also a minister in the 1800s said it. But Jimi Hendrix said it in the generation of the 20th century. And I say it again, the power of love, not the love of power. That is what we may do now at this most magical hour and cause the flower to grow again in the hearts
right.
of humanity.
Right, right.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, when we sow things that are good, when we sow love and we sow light in our lives out to others, that speaks
right.
forth, right? That speaks.
That's
it,
right.
It's a greater power. Not, and I'm not talking about, you know, just the, you know, a power over people. It's a greater force than words. When you can do something in your actions to bring joy to people, and you know about this because we've talked about this many, many times. And if you do this, then your life speaks of it. You don't even need to say anything. People see it in your life. And I think that's why people have seen that in your life, Lori, is because of the kindness that you show to people, you know. And
I will
never stop
being kind. Never.
Right. And you know what? That portrays that scene on your countenance, right? I mean, you know, that's what attracts me to people. When I see light, right, when I see joy, when I say peace, when I see kindness, when I see those kind of things attract me.
Right.
And those are things go ahead.
The weak person will always seek to control everyone. They will try to control humanity by having the wages taken, by making a person feel smaller than they are. I'm
right.
a builder. I build
right.
people. I want
right.
people to achieve the best that they can because
right.
I want to leave this world saying, I made a flower grow better. I made a human breathe a little easier because I was here. Not how much
right.
money I have in the bank. I could care less if I die with a penny to my name.
Right.
Have I made people smile? That's all I want to do.
Yeah. And you know what? It's around you, you know? I call you my adopted aunt, right? I call you my
adopted aunt.
Yeah, I call you my adopted aunt. And we may not see eye to eye on every little thing, but you know
right.
what I stand for, and I know what you stand for. And when one thing that is very notable about you and what you stand for and what you're about is your countenance. People see that. You know, that's what's going to draw in people is love. And so I was really delighted to hear that you were going to do this this
yes.
year. I also understand there's no you're not competing with anybody else. It's not a
no.
competition with Christian Days. This is a totally,
no.
totally different thing. But I do want to know, and for the listeners, if they're in the Salem area, Salem, Mass area, and they want to find out about this festival, is there also some other festivities around this? Is there a dinner or anything like that? Is there, and how do they find out about it?
Christian Day is doing the Festival of the Dead at the Salem Hawthorne Hotel. He'll be doing the Dumb Supper. It's the contacting of the dead. It is a very, very good thing to do because he has that every year, and it is joining of your ancestors. I will be doing the ball at Sin's Restaurant on the 26th, and that will be, you can come there, get tickets through Calling Magica, of course, and that is going to be at Sin's Restaurant, and it's going to be a wonderful festival. It's going to be a wonderful ball festival. The ball is going to be the Festival of the Living Light and Love, of course, and also it's going to be, we're having a parade this Thursday in Salem, and it is to kick off the season, and we have gifts for all the children and everything. That's what Magic is going to be giving out. And like I say, we have on the Common, I'm having the African dances from called the Crocodile River Dances, Barako, and they're going to be performing the Dance of Living and Light and also the Love. They're going to be drumming. I have Mamadou coming. He's a fantastic drummer. He's an African drummer. And it's to bring forth everybody. Okay, that's going to be on the Common. And at the ball, Mamadou will be doing a drumming session. It's all to bring life and light and, you know, to honor the dead, but yet to bring the life and the light back for the new year. And then there's, of course, Lori Cabot's ball. She's going to be having it on the 26th at the Moose Club over here in Salem. Everything is going on. It's non-competing. It's competing to make everyone happy that comes to this city. There is,
right.
And anybody who tries competition at this time is a fool.
Right. So that sounds like you got a lot of stuff, great stuff happening, and a lot of great stuff happening in the area during this time. And I've never been out there, but I've heard that the whole month of October is really your Halloween month there, and it goes on for the whole month, which is very, very interesting, very cool. You know, I've never been a part of something like that, but you know, that doesn't mean that I won't come by.
You'll come by
next year. But you know, but the
you'll
thing
be
is,
here. You'll be here.
and it'll be nice, and it'll be nice to see Phil too, and some
yes,
other people that
dope.
I'd like to see. But you know, I think the really neat thing here is that you're doing something that is an extension of you and your group, just like other people are doing extensions of who they are and what they've done for years. So this is where I think it's really cool because I think it's setting another tone.
Right. There's something else I want to tell you. There's Gypsy Ravish, whose cousin Richard Ravish was one of the forerunners here in Salem of the Temple of Nine Wells. She has a shop here, too, called New Aeon, and she's going to be doing the walk to Gallows Hill where the witches, people accused of being witches, were hung. And that's a candlelight procession that will be about, I think, 5 or 6 o'clock. I think it was 6 o'clock on the five, between 5 and 6 on the up towards Gallows Hill. It starts from the Pickering Wharf onward, and it's going to be up there where they honor those people who perished under injustices. And Gypsy has that with Temple of Nine Wells. It's all a wonderful time, and it's a time of remembrance. Everything, everyone here, look at the Destination Salem. Look on your websites there and see what's going on. We, of course, have our readers here at Magica. Uh-huh. There's John Vienz. There's Jackie Aloisi. There's Vlad. There's Onyx, or better known as Onyx Valentine. There's Doug. And there's my son, of course, Anthony Bruno. And there's Richard Wendt. And all of them are fantastically good readers. And they're all here at Magica, and they give their time, and they're all ministers in our Lord and Lady of the Trinacrian Rose Church. We can do weddings here, too.
So you cover it all, right? You
yes,
cover it all.
It all. We
you
did it all.
We did it all.
Joey, we want everybody to be happy here. We want happiness at this time of year to usher in the new year. I'd like to say something to people. When you get dressed up at Halloween, dress your best, because that's how you'll be in a new year. All right?
Wow, how about that? Dress your best. Dress
you will be your
best. Dress your best. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I like Halloween.
Good things for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think, you know, when you can bring joy into other people's lives, really, that's what it's all about, you know? And earlier, before you came on, we were talking to the CEO, owner of the Magic Castle, who actually, in Los Angeles, well, it's in Hollywood, where a lot of celebrities have been, where they've had a lot of celebrity magicians. Now, different than what you
right.
do, but they're illusionists, you know. But Magic Castle
yes.
has been around for years, and it was really
neat.
One
of these days,
and
I'm going to come there.
Well, I already set the way for you.
All right.
So I'll talk to you about it after. I'll call you. Keep your cell phone on. I'll call you up.
I will.
But anyway, so you know, the interesting thing is that he was talking about his involvement. He comes from a family of magicians, and then on your side on the Eastern Coast, we're talking about really truly another form of quote magic and something magical and the magical things that are happening in the month of October and what you're celebrating. They're celebrating magic. The Magic Castle in Hollywood is celebrating 50 years this year of being around. This year, you're celebrating your first annual Festival of the Light and the Living and love. And that's awesome as well. So really two special things happening in this month that I really want. You know, I mean, I could have done a show around Oogie Boogie and Creepy Things about Halloween.
Right.
I could have done haunted stories. I could have done ghost stories. I could have done, you know, things that freak people out. And I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. First of all, I don't always like stuff like that. And secondly, that's really not – we have enough of that in the world. All you have to do is turn on the news, right?
Yeah, you do.
So why don't we talk about things that bring people peace and joy and love?
That's right.
And those things.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and if we can do that and sow that in our own lives, right, and have that going forth, and you know, and we're sowing that out. When you plant something that's good, obviously great things come from that.
That's right.
Right?
That's what I want. I want the planting of the good, and not the nastiness.
Right.
I don't want nasty around me. It's not a good thing. And you know, nasty only begets nasty, and it grows and it grows, and it becomes a cancer on the earth. And
absolutely.
That's not a good thing. I want this. I want to start to invigorate the earth to living and light and love, and stop the wars.
Right.
Because the more you do the negative, come the evil, and I don't want
right.
the evil anymore.
Right.
And please
right.
walk with me on that. And you know something. My friend Dennis Kirkpatrick called me today, and he said to me, Lori, he's the assistant pastor of the church. He said, Lori, do you know what's happening on April 27th next year? I said, yeah, I'm a year older. He said, no. They're canonizing Pope John the 23rd, who was a great helper of the Jews in the
mm-hmm.
Second World War, when he was the primate of Turkey, a symbol of Turkey. He issued falsified baptismal papers to save Jews' lives. And then he's also going to make a saint of John Paul, the Polish pope who passed away, right on your birthday. I said, isn't that a funny thing? My ancestor Giordano Bruno would have smiled on that, because
wow.
I think that's a sign of peace and understanding. And this is what I'd love to see. Everyone in that circle join hands, no matter what religion you are, and say peace on earth and the caring of all mankind and animal kingdom and this whole universe to love each other. That's what I want to happen there.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's if you can lay down, if you can lay down if people can lay down their pride, if people can lay down their prejudice, if people can lay down all these things and say, you know what, you're a human being. I may not see things the way you see them. I may have another belief system, but I respect you. And then out of respect, we can understand. That's why
that's
why you've done well, is because you've respected people. And you understand their beliefs. You understand how, you know, how people work and how they believe and what they, and you know, interesting, I did not know
I took time, Joey, in my life to learn all the creeds of mankind. So I would never, never falter when I met somebody, that I would respect them. Respect.
Right.
And told you, you know, my family's a tapestry of races. And I'm thanking the gods that it's so.
Right, right. And religion, right? So you don't...
Absolutely.
So you have people, yeah. So, and you know, but we need to be... We also need to be wise. You already know this, but I mean, people need. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine, Chris, last night, and she was talking about a situation. And the thing was that stood out was, you know, sometimes people can come into our lives. This is why I think we need to be wise. They can come into our lives and they can be deceptive, yeah. And so, so you think that they're full of light, but then they're really not, you know? That's when we have to be wise, right? That's when we have to know the difference. And this person was telling me they had somebody come into their life and they thought it was such a great friend and blah, blah, blah. But this person has really turned to be something, they've shown their true colors. And my thought to this person was, you know, you need to separate yourself from them, you know?
That's
you don't
right.
spend time with them because we become like those we spend time with. And if you spend so much time with this individual, you're going to start to take on their traits.
Absolutely.
The way that their unkindness, the way they treat people so unkindly
and abruptly.
And I said, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And this person said, you know what, Joey, you were right. And they say, and you know what, you told me about this when I first became friends with them. I said, I don't know what I told you. They said, you told me to be very careful and to stay, you know. But I think that when you're wise and you walk in light, and that's what we want to do, you want to embrace all people that are good. We want to embrace the good into our lives. We want to reflect that out, like you said. You know, and that's really what a friend of mine who's a Christian sent a really great message out to me that said this, and well, it actually went out to quite a few people, but said this, and I think this reflects all of us, no matter what religion you are and what you're doing. So mercy, so faith, so kindness, so grace.
Right.
So mercy, so faith, so kindness, so grace.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that awesome?
Absolutely.
And
yes,
I mean,
that
speaks to what you do. And I think that's why you're so loved, Lori Bruno, is because when people see you, you know, call it what you will, you know, call yourself what you will. But, you know, truly, I think really a good name for you, and I use this, is you're the reverend of your church and an elder and all that, but you're also a very wise.
Hello?
Hi, folks. We just had a problem here. We had some kind of fluke with the system, but we're going to try again. We're going to try dialing. Lori is there. Let's see if we can get her back. And hold tight here.
I lost you, Joey.
You did, but you know it wasn't you. It was the system. That's okay. You know, a lot of these big networks now have had attacks on the systems. We're on now, and this has come within our system as well. But anyway, what I was getting at is people that know you and see you know that you speak of good, and they can see that in kindness, and they can see that, and they can, you know, you. And this is why I like to call you a very wise woman. Okay.
I keep listening to me. I learn each day. I don't know it all. I teach
no, no,
to
no,
learn,
but
and I learn
a
to
wise
teach.
Woman. A wise woman.
I've been through
a lot
in my life.
Yeah, I don't like being called a wise guy. I like being called a wise man.
Wise man.
a wise man. And you're a wise woman. And I think people have to understand what that means. And, you know, interesting, you were talking about the hangings in Salem and people that were wrong.
Yes.
Many of those people weren't even people that practiced
witchcraft. No, they weren't. They weren't.
So,
they were not.
So they could have been, you know, it could have been you or I or anybody else. It could have been somebody like... It could have been, you know, when I say you or I, anybody in the audience could have been, I could have been accused of that because I have kind of an esoteric or eclectic way of thinking sometimes.
Right.
Mystical. Somebody could have easily said, oh, Joey's like, you know,
absolutely.
Who knows? He could,
but listen, I was this week here, I was sitting in a restaurant, minding my business. Yet somebody saw me and they... I think she was giving the evil eye to our shop. Excuse me? If I was to get, you know, take the bolt out of your own eye, why would you have to be afraid of me if you have not done a guilty thing to me? You know, hello, wake up and smell the coffee. I have no time to wish evil on anybody.
Right.
You know what people are? Their own worst curse. When you know
right.
you have done something evil, that guilt eats at you. Okay?
Right.
And that's I do not wish evil on anybody. What I do wish, though, I wish people on themselves. That's it, very carefully. You want to do something evil, you're going to get it back. I'm very well protected by a light that comes from generations to generations.
Right.
And it will never, ever leave because we're all children of the light who do believe in it. And those who believe in the darkness are of their own light.
Right.
Okay.
Let me share something with you that happened. This is years ago. I was in the Hawaiian Islands, and I was singing on the beach, okay? And so after that, the keyboard player said, Joey, you want to grab something to eat? And I said, yeah, because we have another show to do probably in about an hour, so let's go over there. My songs that were out were definitely of God, and they were pretty powerful. But we were in that coffee shop, Lori, and having breakfast. There was a woman there probably about 10 feet away from me with her husband, okay? And she had on her face, she had painted war paint, you know, just black war paint, one side of her cheek and one on the other. Now, I looked over at her. She looked at me, and she gave me an evil eye. She just, you know, and I could feel that spirit. I could feel it. I kept minding my own business. And I glanced over really quickly. At the moment that I glanced, she took the F word and sent it forth to me.
Oh, wow.
You know, F you, yeah.
Oh, God.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm going, dear God. I said, you know, part of me just wanted to just walk up and go, what the hell is wrong with you, you know? And that's my Italian side that was like, what are you, stupid?
I know. I get the same way.
You know,
I walk to your face.
So but.
Yeah, hold back.
I just quietly prayed, and I said, you know what, God? You can take care of this.
That's right.
And I let it go. I'm going to tell you what happened. Within 30 seconds, the waitress came over to her, asked her if she wanted a cup of coffee. Would you like a fill on your coffee? She said yes. The waitress went to pour the coffee.
Oh,
it didn't pour in the cup.
Oh, God, it's mother.
It poured on her lap.
You understand who did that? I always say it's Michael. He does a good job.
So, you know, I believe that God, by His Spirit, took care of that situation for me.
I think He failed. Let go and let God take care of God to take care. You know something? It was the Feast of the Archangel Michael on the 29th.
Yes, I do go in the Catholic Church on that day. Yes, I do receive communion because Michael the Archangel is part of the ancient craft. It was called Michaelmas, and he is the protector of everyone who works with the light, whether it is Christian, Muslim, Jew, Shinto, anybody. He is the archangel of the protector of the humanity. And he goes, he's the archetypical being that came from ancient Sumeria onward. And he is the angelic force that protects anyone who believes in the light. Now, I would also like you to remember this here, everyone out there who do healing. There is a young man by the name of Rob Grillo. He is a wand maker and a wonderful human being. He was injured in a motorcycle accident, and I've been doing my prayers for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's out here in Massachusetts, Rob Grillo, a wonderful father, and he is now the heir to the sword which I have given him myself now of Leo Martello. I blessed the sword, and I gave it to him. It belongs to him. It didn't come from anybody else but to me and then to Rob Grillo. Everything else was canceled out. Rob's going to be protected and his son by that sword forever because I bless it with the energy of Michael, and please pray for him that Rob heals completely.
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. So we send that. So his first name is
Rob, R-O-B,
Robert,
second
Robert
name,
or Rob?
He goes by Rob. He goes by the name of Rob. Last
Grillo,
name Grillo.
G-R-I-L-L-O?
Rob Grillo, heel, yes.
Okay. So G-R-I-L-L-O?
Yes, he's a wonderful wand maker.
Okay.
He makes magical wands, and everything is done with his heart.
So we just pray for healing and protection
healing,
around him?
And protection around him forever. The wonderful
and,
father.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, you heard what Lori asked for, and we believe, and that's what we stand by, and we believe that things do happen, healings do happen, miracles
yes, they do.
Do happen. So be lifting him up in your hearts and your minds in prayer for him. We can all do that. No matter what your religion, it doesn't really matter. If you believe that there is a higher being, if you believe in God, whatever you believe in, when somebody is hurting, this is the time to stand with them and their families. I believe the way I believe. Lori believes the way she believes. But together we can stand in prayer for him.
Yes.
And for his situation. So
as the father said, in my father's house are many mansions.
Right.
And many ways to the one.
Right. 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 What I've learned over the years is, things are not necessarily cookie cutters,
No.
There are people around us of many different religions that would perhaps annoy us just because of their actions or the way they carry themselves or how they behave or what they say. Words are powerful. They either speak life or death into people. Your actions speak either life or death, and the way you behave. And if you can sow light and love and peace.
That's exactly what we try to do.
Yeah. And, this is why, Lori, many times when I'm in my, I'm having a bad day or I have an attitude problem, I'm having one of those Joey moments.
We all do.
Yeah. But I go, I need a regroup. And what I do many times is I'll just say, God, allow me to see as you see them. Allow me to hear. Allow me to speak. And allow me to touch them as you want them to be touched. Period. The end. And it changes my whole personality because it's no longer me and my bad attitude, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So I've given it up. And those are things that we really need to sow love into people's lives and life and willingness to go beyond our selfish ways, because we're human beings and sometimes human beings have selfish ways. But if we can go beyond that and just say, you know what, I'm all about helping this person out. I'm all about reaching out to them. I'm all about helping them. How else are they gonna see light if you don't radiate that in your own life?
That's right.
If you speak of something yet you do not have love, you know, in my religion, in my belief system, it talks about that. You know, you might have the tongues of angels, you might do this and that, but if you have not love, you're nothing.
Well, Saint Paul said that.
Yeah, you have to have love for people. You have to have love. And I am so happy that you're doing that, and that your festivities, amongst the other festivities that are happening too, are happening this year, and people are going to be able to be a part of that. Again, please let people know how they can get in touch with you through means of, I know you have Twitter, but I know you have a Facebook.
Huh?
You have your regular website, which
right.
I believe is Lori Bruno Psychic Duck.
Yes, yes, and also they can call the shop, which is Magica, Magika, and the number at the shop is 978-740-9297. And I'm not afraid to give you my home, 978-741-9297. Okay? I'm not afraid if you call me, because what is it? It's only a number, and I would answer the phone. Sometimes
right,
my answering machine answers, but I'll get back to you.
Right, right. Well, that is so cool. Now, before we go, and I want you to, once you leave, Lori, just stay tuned. I'm going to be calling you in a little bit. But I want to let people know, once again, Lori's, you know, she talked about her this year, her first annual festival. There's a lot of festivals going on, which are
come
throughout
to all of them.
Salem, and come to all of them. And it's, you know, I know that I've heard from my friend Phil that it's there's a lot of fun there for a lot of people during the whole month of October. See, unlike here in other parts of the United States, we celebrate Halloween one day. But your town celebrates it for the whole month, really, right?
365, and we celebrate it every day of the year.
Every day. So, but anyway, so again, folks, you want to get a hold of Lori, you want to be part of it, and you know, if you're in the Salem, Massachusetts area, please do get a hold of her, get tickets, go and support what she's doing, go to her shop. Be blessed, and that's really
the circle on the common is free, and we have gifts for everyone. I got gifts for everyone. Let me put it that way. I'm giving gifts to everyone. I know you have to pay for this in Salem, that in Salem, but this is a free circle. It is a gift for everyone, and we're going to have a wonderful day. So we give back. In giving, we're living, and in living, we're giving. That's the name of it. At Magica, that's what we're doing. That's our creed here. Giving, living, and living, giving. Okay?
That is very, very, very cool. Okay. So you know what? I am going to, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
you know,
very
Lori,
much
when
for
I
having
had
me.
The, when I had Milt there from Magic Castle, I was going to try one of my tricks on him, and he wanted to keep talking. Well, that's all right. He wanted to keep talking about he's got a movie coming out and all this, and we're going to have him back. But I didn't have a chance to try it on him. So, you know what? Do you mind if I try this trick on you?
No, I don't mind.
Okay. So, okay. And for the listeners, you can do this as well, okay? I want you to quietly in your mind pick a number between 1 and 10. Okay?
Okay.
You multiply that number times 9.
Yep, I did it.
Okay, you add those digits together.
The one I picked and then that?
Yeah, so that 1 and 10, now you multiplied it by 9. Now you add that number, you add those digits together.
Right.
Now you add 4.
Okay.
Is your number 13?
Yes, it is. I picked the number 8. I did it by 72. I got the 80. Then I added 4, and I got 8, 84, 8, 13. I got 5 more. Yes, 13.
Okay. Isn't that cool?
It's very cool, and I love you, Joey. And 13 is St. Anthony, and it's the sacred number of the craft, and it's equal to 4, which is a Jupiterian number, and prosperita, a saluta per tutto, which means prosperity and happiness and love for all.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so we are going to thank you, Lori Bruno, for joining us. And, folks, thank you for joining us for a really magical show from the West Coast to the East Coast. It's been really a fun show, and we really want to, you know, thank both Milt and Lori for joining us. We want to thank them. And also, we just want to thank you for this month of October. There's so many great things that are going to be happening and shows and all that. So you definitely want to be a part of that. Share the show with your friends and your family. And until the next time, may you have a blessed day. Happy October, folks, and we'll talk to you soon.